On a Sunday morning in early October 2011, President Obama's national security advisor, Tom Donilon, was driven through a wealthy suburb of Abu Dhabi. It was the kind of backdoor, no-photos diplomatic mission he enjoyed most, the quiet delivery of an urgent message directly from the President of the United States. A decade after 9/11, Donilon was overseeing the Obama administration's effort to end what he called the messiest unfinished business of the Bush years, Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq was in its final chapter. In just a few months, the last American troops would drive out of the country on the same road they had driven in on 8 years before. Extracting Washington from Afghanistan, the war of necessity, as Obama used to put it, before he reconsidered the phrase, was far more difficult. A promising-sounding game plan to train the Afghan troops to defend their own country was sputtering along. But precious few of the gains American troops had fought for seemed permanent. Obama's aides feared that the American withdrawal could lead to economic crisis and a Taliban resurgence. Meanwhile, the relationship with the truly vital player in the region, Pakistan, had entered into such a death spiral, there was a real possibility that American troops would be sent into the territory of an ostensible ally to hunt down insurgents targeting Americans. At 56, his hair thinning a bit, Donilon looked like a slightly disheveled version of the consummate Washington lawyer that he was. He had risen through the ranks of the Democratic Party as a superb political operator. In his early 20s, he managed the convention floor for Jimmy Carter. Later, he gained a reputation for getting presidential candidates through their debates. Most of Washington knew Donilon as a canny political strategist, and political combat certainly made him tick. But the political world and the foreign policy world in Washington often operate in different orbits. And what many missed about Donilon was his determination to live in both simultaneously. He dates that decision back to one day when he was in his third year of law school and had lunch with Warren Christopher, the Deputy Secretary of State, whom he had gotten to know in the Carter administration. "He came to lunch with his book, and he pushed it across the table to me," Donilon recalled. "He said, 'Politics is the easiest and most lucrative path for you, but you might consider another path.'" The book was an old copy of Present at the Creation, an account of the remaking of American national security after World War II by Harry Truman's Secretary of State, Dean Acheson. Donilon took it home and read it several times. That copy is still on his bookshelf. He was hooked. For years, he could be seen carrying a battered L.L. Bean tote bag home, overflowing with ponderous articles on foreign policy and national security. When Christopher became Bill Clinton's first Secretary of State, he installed Donilon down the hall as his chief of staff. And while Donilon returned to politics and law practice during the Bush years, he was clearly itching to get back into the game, constantly peppering old State Department colleagues, journalists, and academics with questions about how America's actions were perceived around the world. Now he was present at a different creation, the effort to sustain and extend American power in a world of far more diverse threats and new competitors than Acheson ever could have imagined. As National Security Advisor, Donilon was the first person to brief the President of the United States on national security challenges every morning. He kept a precise count of how many such briefings he had done, a habit endlessly parodied by his staff, and relished special missions to deal with the hardest cases. This was one of them.